Well, dear friends, we turn this morning to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and reading from verse 40 to verse 42. Luke chapter 18, verses 40 to 42. Luke 18, verse 40, and Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And our subject this morning is the sight of faith, the sight of faith. And we consider this wonderful miracle, a healing miracle, of course, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord, as you well know, worked many great and many amazing miracles, true miracles, genuine miracles, not counterfeit miracles, not dubious miracles or suspicious miracles. These were true miracles. These were all historical miracles as well. These accounts that we read of the Lord and his healings, they are historical events. They are not myths. They are not fairy tales. The Lord Jesus Christ is a historical figure, as I constantly say. He has had the greatest impact on history itself. Fairy tales do not make impacts on history. Myths do not make impacts on history. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, because he truly came, the Son of God, into this world. And we read here of one of those healings, and it's the healing of a blind man. And we read of this account elsewhere in the scriptures. This blind man is not actually named in this particular gospel, the gospel according to Luke, but he is named elsewhere. His name is Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus. And what that name really means is that he was the son of Timaeus. That's what Bartimaeus means. And the Lord Jesus Christ has been coming into his vicinity, and we'll speak about that. And this blind man has cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And these words will be very interesting for us this morning, this whole account. This message this morning will actually have some very similar themes to last week. Those of you who were here last week will begin to see the similarities. Last week, of course, we looked at Psalm 27, which was a psalm of David. And well, it's interesting that this blind man, blind Bartimaeus, calls Jesus the Son of David. He cried in verse 38, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. That was a title of the Messiah. The Messiah would be the Son of David. In other words, the Messiah would come from the line of David, from David's descendants. So David, the great king, would have sons, and from his sons and his descendants going down through the centuries, there will come the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he is a son of David in the sense that he is a descendant of David. He is in the line of David. And he would be like David in many ways. He would be a king like David. David, of course, was a great king. But here we have the King of Kings, the king that was chosen by God. David was not chosen by men. David was the least of Jesse's sons, but he was chosen by God. And so too the Lord Jesus Christ, not chosen by men, chosen by God. He is the anointed one. That is what, of course, Christ means. The Lord Jesus Christ. The word Christ means the anointed one. It wasn't his surname. Some people get very confused about this. The Lord Jesus, in his lifetime, he was not being addressed as the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is a title meaning the anointed one. It's given to him in the Gospels because he was the one set apart, chosen of God to do the Lord's service, to be our Savior and our Messiah. And he most certainly was the God-man, the Son of God, the incarnate God. And this is why he is able to heal in such a way. And this blind Bartimaeus, well, he already has faith. It is amazing, and I've said this in previous studies on blind Bartimaeus. He was blind, and yet he could see better than so many of the other people at the time. So many seeing people in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw the Lord Jesus, they saw his miracles, they heard his words, and yet they could not see that he was actually the Messiah, that he was the Son of David. They couldn't see it. In perfectly good health, perfectly good vision, but they still couldn't see that this is the Messiah. Bartimaeus, he's blind. He can't see anything, and yet he can see that this is the Messiah. He hasn't seen any of the miracles with his own eyes, and yet how does he address the Lord Jesus? Thou Son of David. He actually has better sight. He has better sight than all the seeing people around the Lord Jesus. And this is a wonderful thing because, of course, he has faith. It's faith that makes all the difference, and we'll speak about that a little more later. But what I want to do this morning, as time is already running on, I just want to pick out a few points of application from this account and apply them evangelistically. Of course, this is the purpose of our gospel message, to reach out to those who are seeking the Lord and to explain to you what you must do. Well, let's just begin at verse 37. And these circumstances, they told him, or rather, let's just go to verse 35. This gives us the full context. It came to pass that he was come nigh unto Jericho. The Lord Jesus was entering into Jericho. A certain blind man, this is Bartimaeus, sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, a great crowd, he asked what it meant. What is going on? Why is there so many people here? And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And this is my first point. The Lord Jesus was passing by. What did this mean to Bartimaeus when he heard that the Lord Jesus was passing by? Well, very simply, it meant that he had to act. And he had to act quickly, otherwise the Lord would soon pass him by completely. Otherwise, the Lord would have moved to another place, would have moved to another city, and he would have been gone forever. This was Bartimaeus's opportunity, and he had to take it. He knew that perhaps he would never get another opportunity. He knew that this particular opportunity wouldn't last forever. And so when he hears that the Lord Jesus Christ is passing by, this was his reaction. I have to act. I have to cry out. I have to do something. I can't just let the Lord go. And this is a lesson for all seekers, of course. Do you let the Lord simply pass you by? Is that speaking of anyone here? The Lord is passing by. The Lord passes by. He's passing by even now. The Lord in this place, well, of course, he doesn't pass by physically as Bartimaeus experienced. He lived in the time of Christ. How does the Lord Jesus Christ pass by now? Well, it's, of course, through the preaching of his word. Every time we gather here, every Lord's Day morning, we declare the gospel. The Lord is passing by. He is drawing near to you. He is presenting himself to you, presenting to you a glorious opportunity. And what does that mean for you? Well, that means, of course, you must act, just like Bartimaeus did. You must act quickly. You must act without delay. You never know whether you will get another opportunity. Now, of course, it is true, and I have to say this, it's true that as long as you live, you can cry out to God. If you cry out to God in your old age, at 90 years of age, for example, he will hear you. God will hear you. Of course he will. If you cry out to him sincerely and genuinely, as we mentioned last week, he will most certainly hear you. If you're on your deathbed, if you only have a few minutes left to live and you're gasping for air, if you cry out to the Lord, he will still hear you. Yes, of course he will. He will hear you and he will answer you. But this is the thing. How long do you really have left to live? Will you actually make it to age 90? Will you actually make it even to age 60? We don't know how long we have left to live. And so this is why we constantly stress, you must act now. The Lord Jesus Christ is passing by. Are you going to act? You don't know how long you have left to live. You might only have a short time. And I so often say this, when you go to graveyards and cemeteries, as sometimes I do, I am always amazed to see how many young people, the graves of young people are there. You would think that if you go to a graveyard, it's only the graves of old people. They just got old and died. There are so many young people. They thought they had many years left. They didn't. And so, well, you think to yourself, how many of them had that opportunity? How many of them had the Lord passing by? And dear friends, we cannot wait. Don't wait until you're old. Don't wait until you're on your deathbed. You know, some people, they don't even have a deathbed. Some people, they die very suddenly. Some people, and I've known this even in my experience, some people die in their sleep. They don't even know they've died. Don't wait until your deathbed. Some of us will not have a deathbed. We'll be here 1 minute, then we'll be gone. Dear friends, now is the opportunity. The Lord is passing by. Don't let him go. Don't let him go out of sight. Imagine if Bartimaeus had waited and just let the Lord pass by. He would never have been healed. He would never have had his sight restored. His life would never have been changed. He would have remained in his sad state, in his blindness, and nobody else would have been able to help him. Who else would have healed him of his blindness? No doctor, no physician would ever have been able to have cured him of his blindness. His greatest need is only Christ. Who can provide for him? Who can help him? Dear friends, Christ, well, he is the only one who can provide your greatest need. You need to know where you are going when you die. You need to know where you are going after this life. No other person can help you with that. No doctor, no physician can tell you where you are going with that. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way to eternal life. He is the way to eternal joy and peace. Are you just going to let him go? Let him go out of your sight. He is passing by, dear friends. Blind Bartimaeus gives us that example. Don't miss out, dear friends. Isn't it amazing? We live in a world, so many people, they don't want to miss out on anything. They don't want to miss out on a TV show, or they don't want to miss out on a sporting event, or they don't want to miss out on some great thing that's going on. And yet the greatest thing that is offered to us, people are happy just to miss out, just to let the Lord pass by. This is one of the tragedies of our fallen human nature. Dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ was passing by Bartimaeus. He knew he had to act because his time was limited. But secondly, for our consideration this morning, note how when Bartimaeus cried out, he was actually met with discouragement. He cried out, look at verse 38. He cried saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he was met with discouragement in verse 39. And they which went before him rebuked him that he should hold his peace. So he was crying out to the Lord Jesus Christ, and what were the people around him doing? They were saying to him, oh, shut up, be quiet, don't cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the circumstance, that was the picture. He's crying out to the Lord, everyone around him is saying, shut up. Well, this is very common, of course, for seekers. This was my experience when I began seeking the Lord. Some years ago now, when I began seeking the Lord, what did all the people around me say to me? What are you doing, Darren? Why are you seeking the Lord? Don't bother with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are you reading your Bible? There's so much other things to do in the world. Go out into the world, have a good time. People were shouting me down. I wanted to know the Lord. And yet so many, even people close to me, don't do that. Don't seek the Lord. Have you lost your mind? We're all going to laugh at you. If you become a Christian, we'll laugh at you. What about your life? What about your career? What about having money and all the things that the world has to offer? This is what happens when you begin to seek the Lord. Are we aware of this? I was saying to our young men recently in our Friday meeting, well, this is one of the ways that Satan attacks. If he sees you drawing near to God, Satan will always try and discourage you, always try and distract you, always throw things into your mind, into your life. You can't go after the Lord now. Dear friends, this is Satan's agenda. Are we aware of this? Satan, with his temptations, he will always try and make out that he has your best interests at heart. This is what Satan will say to you. I want you to have a good life. A wonderful life with lots of happiness and lots of material possessions. This is Satan's temptation. Go my way, you will be happy. But dear friends, this is a hidden agenda. There's a hidden agenda. He doesn't care about your happiness at all. All he wants to do is just keep you away from God. That's all he wants to do. He hides that, of course. He makes out he just wants you to have a good time. But his hidden agenda, keep this man, keep this woman, keep this youngster away from God so that their soul is lost, so that they have no hope. That's his hidden agenda. Have you fallen for it? Dear friends, this is so sad. How is it with us this morning? I have to stress this point. You know, sometimes Satan's temptation is more subtle. Let me stress this to you because we don't often mention it. Sometimes Satan will say to you, don't get too serious. Don't get too serious. Maybe he will say to you, oh yes, it's all right to go to church. It's all right to have some Christian friends. It's all right to sing the hymns and give some money into the offering. But don't get too serious. You know, there are many people who say they are Christian, but they will even confess to you, I don't take it too seriously. That's the temptation of Satan. You know, our souls are crying out for a serious walk with God, a close walk with God. Our souls are crying out to know him, to know true peace, to know true assurance that we are going to heaven. That's what our souls are crying out for, to know that we're forgiven. Our souls want true spiritual life, new birth. We want new life. We don't just want outward religion. The soul is crying out for that inner miracle, that inner life, that spiritual life. Dear friends, maybe it's you who's shouting it down. Your soul is crying out to God, Lord, I need true spiritual life. Are you the one who's saying, no, I don't want to take it too seriously? I just want to turn up to church and that's it. Dear friends, you must have a close relationship with the Lord. That's what your soul is crying out for. Don't shout it down like the people here. Your own soul is crying out, I need the Lord wholly, completely. Dear friends, you must turn to the Lord. May that miracle, that true miracle, that change of life, be yours. And this is, all of these things are presented here. So this is what we have to be aware of. This blind man, he was shouted down, but well, this only made him the more determined. Verse 39, but he cried so much the more, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Dear friends, be determined. But let us move down to verse 41, because this exchange is very interesting. The Lord Jesus Christ says to the blind man, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" And blind Bartimaeus, he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." The Lord asks Bartimaeus, what does he want? "What do you want, Bartimaeus?" And he says, "I am blind, I want to see." And again, well, this is how it is with those who do not know the Lord. The Bible speaks so often of a spiritual blindness. A spiritual blindness, this is the condition of the natural man. The natural man, when we say spiritually blind, we say that the natural man is blind to the things of God or to the work of God. Now, there are many things we could say about this. One obvious example, of course, is when the natural man, certainly in the modern age, when he looks at creation, when he looks at the world around him, the wonderful, extraordinary diversity of life, the amazing way that animals are designed for flight, for running, for speed, for agility, for different environments. They see all these things and they are blind to the work of God. They see all these things, the same things that we see, but they have a blindness, you see. They cannot see the hand of God in it. They say, "Oh, well, it's all evolved." You see, it's a kind of blindness, spiritual blindness. Another example, well, they see the Christian faith. They read the Word of God, and they are blind to the beauty of it. They are blind to the truth of it. They just see it as something oppressive, something to be avoided, something that is irrelevant at least and wicked at the worst. And they can't see how it's even relevant for them. They are blind to these things. But here is the thing that is taught, and this is something we have to understand, the great tragedy. The natural man is willfully blind. He is willfully blind. You see, the natural man does not see these things because he doesn't want to see these things. He doesn't want to see these things. This is his terrible state. Again, does this speak to anyone here? You don't see the beauty of the gospel. You don't see how any of what I am saying applies to you. I will put to you, you don't see it because you don't want to see it. You don't want to see it. You see, you have to be willing. This is why the Lord asks him, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" What are you willing, Bartimaeus? What do you want? A Christian has to be willing. You cannot force somebody to be a Christian. And again, I often say this, a forced Christian is not a Christian at all. A Christian is somebody who is willing. They have willingly cried unto God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to blind Bartimaeus, "What do you want? It has to be your will. What is your choice? What is your will?" And this is what he's saying to all of us. What is your will? Do you want to see or do you not want to see? You have a choice. Do you want to see the beauty of the gospel? Do you want to see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ? Sadly, so many do not want to see it. When you see it, well, everything changes. You see the world around you in a different way. You see the scriptures in a different way. You see yourself in a different way. Dear friends, this is so very important. I have to say this before we leave. You know, when we have faith, it doesn't just mean that you see the Lord Jesus Christ as he truly is. Yes, you see him as he truly is when you have faith. But your faith is also this. You see yourself as you truly are. You see yourself. You see yourself as a sinner. You see your sinful state. Before, you never saw it. This is part of your spiritual blindness. You never saw yourself as a sinner. You could see the sins of everyone else, the world around you, Yes, you were very good at doing that, but yourself, you couldn't see it. That's your spiritual blindness. But you know, somebody who has faith, they actually see their sin. They see their sinful state before the Lord, and they see how terrible this is. They see the consequences of this. They know that they have to stand before God one day, and God will see all of their sin. Even if you don't see your sin, God sees all of your sin, and you will one day have to stand before him. And God, who is a holy God, well, he must punish sin. He cannot overlook it. He cannot just ignore it. He's too holy for that. He must punish sin, and the punishment is death. But dear friends, this is why the Lord Jesus Christ came. He came to die for us. Father, punish me instead of them, instead of all those who believe in me. I will take the punishment. I will die in their place. And this is what he has done. You see, this is why it's so important to see your sin. If you don't see your sin, you will never see Christ as he truly is, because he's a savior for your sin. He's the savior for your sin. If you don't see your own sin, you will never see Christ as your savior. You must see yourself as a sinner, heading for eternal loss, and then you will see Christ as he truly is, your savior who has died for you, taken the punishment for your sin, and you will have that true faith. This is how we define faith. Faith really is sight. Seeing those things that you never saw before, seeing your sin and seeing Christ as the one who has taken the punishment for your sin. Dear friends, don't be blind any longer. Ask the Lord, Lord, give me that sight. And well, when you ask the Lord these things, he does. This is what happened to Bartimaeus. Verse 42, Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Dear friends, we have almost run out of time, but I just simply say these things. What is your choice? What are you willing to do? God gives you what you want. God gives you what you want. If you want to see the Lord, he will give you that sight, just like he gave Bartimaeus his sight. If you don't want to see the Lord, he won't give you that sight. He gives you what you want. And so when we stand before God at the end of time, you have no excuse, because all that God did was give you what you want. So what do you want? What will you have the Lord to do? Are you going to remain in your blindness, your spiritual blindness, not seeing the joy of Christ and his salvation? Dear friends, that is very foolish. One day, we will all see Christ. You know, spiritual blindness is only temporary. One day we read in the Bible, every eye shall see the Lord Jesus Christ. He will return one day. And when you do see him, if you have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, well, then it will be too late. It will be too late. You cannot cry for mercy then. You'll not be able to cry for mercy. We don't read in the Bible that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, people will be crying for mercy. We read the opposite. People will be running to the hills, saying, rocks, fall on us. Mountains, hide us. It's too late for mercy. You've let the Lord pass you by. He was in your midst. You let him pass you by. The Lord will come in judgment. Dear friends, you must see him now. You must come to him now, cry to him now, as we've just sung, Christ receives sinful men. So you can come. Don't let Satan shout you down. Don't let anybody stop you. Don't let anyone say to you, you can't come. You can come. And Christ He has spoken to you even this day, even this morning. He has called out to you. You must go to him, dear friends. How much we need him, or else one day we will be eternally lost. May the Lord grant us each one that blessed sight to see ourselves in the right way and to see Christ as our Saviour.